is.
What up, though?
Slow Motion Billy Ocean, what's goodie?
Man, we back in the building on Deck TV Podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holler at your boy Animal Brown. Follow me on all social media, man. Animal underscore Brown.
Yep, I am Spike Lou. Where you looking for me? If you find me, interact. Because we everywhere, rap chat, Facebook, do that. Interact that. With us. Let us know about the topics that were hot to you. We'll bring them up on the show.
Absolutely.
Other than the On Deck TV Podcast, where we discuss the latest in hip-hop, we do have Full Sport Press.
Yep.
J-Hove, Coach Locke, How Weezy on the boards.
Absolutely,
latest
man.
Episodes was the College Awards?
Yeah, man. Every Monday, man, get your sports fix.
Of course.
They doing it big. They on SoundCloud, too, man. They one-upped us. So they on iTunes and all that good shit, SoundCloud as well.
Do that.
I'm still trying to get into this college football. I still haven't picked
the team. The season's over. You can forget
it. The season's over.
Yeah, you ain't picked a team by now. You bandwagon at this point.
The fuck? Yeah, who got the best record? That's my squad.
You might as well just ride. You might as well just be an Alabama fan. You look like an Alabama fan. Roll Tide.
I don't know nothing about none of that.
Yeah, Roll Tide. Just say Roll Tide.
Yeah, I'm good. Oh, man. Also, other shows on the network, man. Shout out to Ladies Room, Anne-Marie, Rizzo. I seen Rizzo at that Knicks game. Oh. Must be nice.
Not to go to a Knicks. Well, I mean,
Matt, MSG. You gotta do MSG though.
Yeah, of course. No shade. I'm shade towards the Knicks, not Rizzo. Much love to them.
For sure.
With her courtside seats for Madison Square Garden.
Must be nice.
Nice.
Right there next to Whoopi Goldberg, Eddie,
and Billy Crystal. Oh, that's the Ladies Room Podcast, though. Check out that, man, every time it drops. That's
absolutely
whenever they want to.
I know they got one on the way, man. I don't think it's out yet.
Cooking.
But you subscribe to that, and goddamn it, when it's ready to come.
Yep.
Also, man, finally, check out the homie, me and J-Hove, Fresh for Dummies Podcast, man. Self-help, man, making people out here get fresh.
Yep.
Give
what was the last topic?
The game. Last topic, man, we took a fresh rewind, man. Went from 2011 to 2016 on styles and shit, man. So, dope episode, man. Y'all check that out for sure.
Nice.
Man, we getting into the what ifs.
What if?
On this episode, man. What if this person signed with this person? A lot of rumors, a lot of almost.
Almost happened. It could have changed some careers. We'll dig into it as we do here at the On Deck TV Podcast, man. But first and foremost, what you have up this past weekend?
Man, I chilled out. I watched a shitload of TV, man. I'm getting lazy out here in these streets. It's a lot of good TV out right now.
Getting lazy.
Yeah, getting lazy. I'm not there yet.
Known you for 20 years, bro. You've been lazy. You ain't got no news sounds over there, producer. We ain't got no news sounds. Breaking news.
First, breaking news is you finally put me on a decent show.
Speak on it.
What's the name of the shit, the NBC?
Is it All of Us? I talked about it last week.
Fuck.
All of Us, I think.
No.
This is us.
I ain't gonna lie,
NBC.
That's killing.
Fire.
That's dope.
Check that out,
that's
man.
That's your first one and only good show suggestion.
No, I got you on Lost.
Man, fuck
I got
no.
you on Breaking Bad.
Now you just making shit.
I did this. I tried to get you on The Wire.
Oh, God. Everybody got it.
Your
everybody
best
on the wire.
Suggestion was what?
Nigga, everything in
Fargo?
Between.
Fargo?
That's that shit.
I still ain't watched that. I still ain't watched Fargo. I tried Luke Cage, though. I tried the Luke Cage.
Luke Cage, okay. It's okay.
I got 30 minutes into the first one, and I was out of there. Somebody did the Luke Cage, and they did the Family Matters theme song.
That was fucking hilarious.
I cried. Cried real tears.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
I watched X-Men, some nerd shit. What's that nerd? What's the list? Generations?
Apocalypse.
That shit was 3 hours fucking long.
Apocalypse?
Yeah, whatever.
It's X-Men, nigga. You got to dig deep in
that
shit.
Trash. I fell asleep. Well, I mean, it wasn't trash. It was just too long.
Don't do that.
I had to get out of there. Other than that, Cowboys 3-1, we done it. You want to make a bet? You want to make a wager?
I don't bet on my team.
I don't bet on my team because they're going to lose to them boys this Sunday. Let's go, Dak. Yes. Let's go, Zeke. Let's do it.
I'm not trusting no niggas named Zeke or Dak.
You better hope dead. Dez, Zeke, Dak.
Names garbage.
Imagine riding up with Dez, Zeke, and Dak. We taking everything. Let's go, Dez, Zeke, and Dak.
Oh, shit.
DZD. You know me.
No.
DZD, man.
Nah, fuck no.
That's the new thing in Dallas, DZD.
Can we get to this rap shit?
Let's do it, man. What stuck out to you this week?
Man, I want to talk about Claire Kemp.
What?
Claire Kemp is a 17-year-old Clearwater, Florida resident who came to character day at school dressed up as her favorite rapper, Kodak Black.
Mm.
Now, she's a Caucasian woman.
I was gonna say, I don't think it's going to go well for Claire.
Man, baby. She came fully equipped with Kodak signature knots in her hair, styrofoam cup, and gold grill. The internet, of course, had a field day. Some calling her racist and accusing her of cultural appropriation. Was the heat that Claire caught fair or foul?
Hold on. I'm trying to pull up an image of young Claire Kemp. Is it CL?
Claire, yes.
All right, so look, I don't necessarily think if she didn't have any malicious intent that it's foul, right? If Kodak Black is really her favorite rapper and I roll up on her and she can do Kodak Black lines and she talking about
vibing in this bitch.
She vibing in this bitch or no flocking and shit like that. She no flocking out here, then I get it.
Yeah.
You can't blackface it though. That's why I was looking for the picture. She can't go blackface.
Yeah. She didn't do that.
She didn't go blackface?
Nah.
Oh, she good then. Like, if she just did the hair and had the gold teeth.
And the styrofoam cup and the tattoos and all.
That's fine. Like, long as she don't go blackface, I'm cool with it. Because, shit, I mean, can't we go as white people for Halloween?
I don't know. Why would you, though?
Why would you? Wouldn't you want to be Trump this year? Wouldn't that be funny?
No.
If you throw the ugly ass blonde wig on, right? You put the suit on
and white face myself.
No. You like just like she didn't blackface. You ain't got a white face.
Okay, I got you.
All you
got
to do is talk with your hands and say, you know, I'm awesome.
First of all,
whatever you know.
That was Bill Clinton right there.
Whatever it was. But if you did that and didn't put on white face, you know, I get it.
I'm
trying to be funny.
Look, whenever someone white does something past just listening to rap, sometimes it can get a little tricky when they do something just past that. But other than Kodak Black being her favorite rapper, she really ain't doing nothing wrong. That's the worst part of this entire story.
She got to be from Florida, right?
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she of course. I mean, and that's, I get it. Everybody under 20 in Florida, Kodak Black is their favorite rapper.
Because they vibing in this bitch.
No, that's what Florida does.
They vibing this bitch. Nah. Shout out our Florida listeners, man.
Absolutely.
We'll be in South Florida later this week.
But you got to, somebody slide her a J. Cole tape, please.
She's not going to listen.
Somebody slide her a Kendrick tape, please.
If she's 17 years old, and Kodak Black is her favorite rapper right now, there's nothing J. Cole or Kendrick Lamar can do for her. Like, she need a heavy dosage of Tupac. Like, she just got to go back to Pac and start from there. Exactly. So if she can't start from Pac and go from there, like, it's over. Like, she might well just ride that Kodak Black way. Get a little Gucci man in her life. Hopefully, she'll listen to Jeezy one day.
It sounds fucked up, but like you said, at least she wasn't in blackface. That would have turned it into
it's a whole nother situation now. If she turned it into blackface and trying to be funny with her little friends on the internet, now you got another situation. But if she really just paying homage to Kodak Black, and I ain't mad at her for that, and I ain't calling her racist or nothing like that. She's a 17-year-old child, man.
Or if she dressed like this every day, then you could have the cultural appropriation.
Well, now I have an issue if she dresses like Kodak Black every day as a 17-year-old white female.
Yeah, that's
I have
one.
A problem
that,
with that. I ain't gonna.
Now you tripping. Now you getting into like clown mode.
Yeah, exactly. You can't do that.
But all now, right. Listen to somebody slide Claire another mixtape of anybody else. Mm. Like anybody else, dude. Please get her an adult to listen to. Because, goddammit, that last Kodak is trash.
She's 17, though. She'll
free Kodak and all that, but that shit garbage.
You be shitting on Kodak for the last 2 weeks, dog. I'm not associated. That is not the views of the On Deck TV podcast. Only Animal Brown.
And millions of other people who listen to this shit. Just you, nigga.
Moving on.
Moving on, man. YG, man. YG is in hot water right now over a song off his debut album called Meet the Flockers, which is basically a how-to for breaking and entering.
Okay.
In the song, he specifies targeting Asians because they don't have bank accounts. Well, the new Civil Rights Alliance, went as far as
comparing. I thought that was Mexicans.
Huh?
I thought Mexicans didn't have bank accounts.
I don't know.
They were illegal workers, and they did like, I ain't trying to be racist or nothing. I'm just saying like they were illegal workers and did work in the field, got paid cash. But go ahead.
Hell if I know. Whoever the new Civil Rights Alliance is, went as far as comparing him to Hitler. And they plan to protest his show on October 12th in Maryland. Does the NCRA have a legit beef with YG?
The NCRA, the New Civil Rights Alliance, no, they don't. If they need something to do, they can go find out about all these police shooting people and stuff like there's a lot of issues that they can handle before they talk about YG's single song on breaking and entering. Like, there's a lot more issues that could be handled, I promise you. Promise
they,
you.
They that. Tried to tie this into, and for all our people that live in Atlanta, y'all saw this. When the person, when the dudes ran up in the little Korean lady house and she shot back and it's on film.
Yep, and she killed one of them, right?
Yes, yeah, she killed, it was three of them. She killed one of them. I think that was down here. She killed one of them. So I even saw when people tried to tie that in and said they did that because of the song. Now, that ladies and gentlemen, is a reach.
That's a fact that it's a reach.
It's super reach. But I'll say this, though. Because this is a tough one, I'm not going to lie.
It ain't tough.
No, it is.
It's not.
It is.
It's not because they could do a lot. Like, what we singling out YG? Why? Come on, man. It's not tough.
No, because on one hand, from our perspective, I get what he's doing as an artist. And I would compare that to more of like what a movie director would do. Mm-hmm. As opposed to fucking Adolf Hitler, who literally had motherfuckers killed. Like, that's
right.
That's an extreme reach. But on the other hand, I'm in the culture and I have context. These people in the NCRA clearly are in the culture and clearly don't understand. So they're taking the lyrics more literally.
National Civil Rights
Alliance.
Alliance.
I can't blame them for that because they have no context.
So we're excusing them for not knowing what they're talking about, yet still speaking on it.
No,
that's not accurate. Like, we're not excusing YG for taking everything that he says literal, so I'm not going to excuse them and say, oh, he's like Hitler. That's unacceptable. Nah, he a young black man doing this thing out here making hits. Now, you got a problem with one of his songs, then say that. And then go address everything else that's wrong with what we got going on as far as a community and what we can make better. But no single out YG. I'm not accepting that at all. It's not no 50-50 thing. But like, they just trying to make, all they trying to do is make headlines.
We don't know that they're singling out them, dude. They didn't
just, I ain't heard them talk about nobody else. No, this is the first time I heard of them.
This, they didn't just form yesterday and say we finna talk about YG. So
they may not have, but they said we gonna talk about YG is my problem. Like, let's talk about something else. Though. Like, do I have to talk about YG for them to listen to me to talk about Black Lives Matter or whatever else that needs to be talked about? Police brutality or mass incarceration, all of these other things that could be talked about, but I have to talk about YG first instead so people will listen to me? Not fair.
I can't say that because that's a deflection, because I hate when people do the reverse. How is it when deflection? You talk about Black Lives Matter, they talk about black on black crime. That's exactly what you just did in reverse. I can't do that.
No, I'm not saying it. I'm not necessarily saying that they have to talk about Black Lives Matter. What my point was, how do they come to the conclusion that it's a crisis that YG is saying this and they're comparing him to Hitler?
If we're going to say he's targeting a group of people and okay, that's racist.
Right. We feel like, from what we see on the news and stuff like that, that the police are targeting a group of people. So before you make the reach to YG, why not go to something that is directly affecting the cause that you're named after, which is civil rights? Why do you have to reach to YG was my point in saying that. Not saying, oh, let's talk about this.
I'm going to tell you why.
Is it because he's not famous?
Because
he's famous?
Because there's enough attention on, I'm pretty sure people are Black Lives Mattered out at this point.
Right.
There's a lot of attention on it, which is great.
Right.
So one more NRA, NRC, whatever the fuck they're called, jumping in on it. Okay, that's the 39th person to jump in. No one was talking about this YG song. Mm-hmm. So that feel like that light needs to be shed on it. Like, I don't understand that. It's not that hard of a concept.
I'm not even saying
I agree with them. Yeah, I'm just saying it's not
I
that.
Get what they're doing. I'm saying that that's wrong, though. Like, if there is a cause, like you said, that plenty of people are going in on, it's not because it's a cause that doesn't need to be added to. They're trying to jump on a singular cause because they think, oh, we're the only ones in this lane. We can go 150 miles per hour at YG and get people to jump on this bandwagon. And I'm just saying that that's not fair.
I just think he needs to have a conversation with him and put it in context.
I wouldn't. There's no reason that YG needs to talk to these people because he's a bigger star. I don't have to talk to them about something that they singling me out for. That's only adding on to their bullshit cause. And there's a lot more stuff that they could be doing. If I was YG, there's no way that I'm getting them in my schedule.
I'd talk to him.
No.
This is all they got to say. Y'all, like, see, if you listen to the music and you're so offended by this type of stuff, you would have been offended way long before.
That's what I'm saying. But like you said. Right here. And they go to, like, what you just said. This is not a brand new organization. I've been doing rap for the last 4-5 years. I came out with My Nigga, My Nigga. If you offended by this, you should have been more offended by that.
Right. Or there's a number of things you could find yourself being offended at. It's just that they
especially targeted me, if I'm YG.
They targeted at blacks as opposed to he's singling out Koreans when he says this line. Which, again, if this was if that exact line was said in a Tarantino movie, they wouldn't say nothing.
And if that exact
that's what's a little disheartening. It's like, come on, y'all, like let's not act like y'all don't y'all taking this shit mad literal, and it's not that's not the case. Like, stop that shit.
Right.
But then again, it is YG though.
What that mean?
I mean, he said it literally. He didn't. He didn't spice it up. He didn't sauce it up. He said it literally like that. He didn't put no type of spin on it or nothing. So I can like again, when you're not in touch with the culture, I can understand you hearing that and it blowing your mind. Like, I get that. But I can't knock my mom if she heard that shit and then it was like, why did he say that?
But then again, though, is it not your responsibility to have someone around you who's in touch with the culture that represents the people that you're talking for so much?
Nah.
How?
I don't know what else they
how can
about,
I be
though.
Ignorant to what's going on? It's like taking it back to 1994 and you doing Dolores Tucker talking about Pac and we rolling, we steamrolling rap CDs because we think Pac is the fucking Antichrist. We know now, 20 years later, that that's not true.
No, they don't.
So why would...
They think YG's the Antichrist.
That's what I'm saying. But we all know now, 20 years later, that that's not true. So why wouldn't they take it into consideration? Nah, is what I'm saying.
That's too much. It's too
for
easy.
Them, not this for us.
This ain't no different from Ross when he said the Molly line or Wayne.
That was just bad. That was a bad line.
It's the same shit.
Yeah, because Molly.
Same thing for
Molly,
Wayne.
Molly
with the
actually
Emmett
doesn't
Till.
Do that to you though. So like, it's just a bad line.
I mean that too.
Wayne Emmett Till was comparable, but not this. Not the Molly and Rick Ross. We gonna. I'm keep my foot. Never mind. Go ahead.
See.
Oh.
Man. Next up, man. French Montana, your boy.
Who?
He has pulled the plug on his sophomore album MC4.
I would too.
The rapper cited issues with sample clearances as the main reason for the cancellation. Simple question: big deal, little deal, or no deal?
No deal at all. It's not. No one was waiting on it.
It was anticipated.
Shout out my boy Big Jeff. He probably was the only one. Him and Puff. Maybe Khloe Kardashian. Who else listened to French Montana? French.
Max B.
What's the Max was waiting on it.
Max was waiting on it for sure.
What's the name of the clique?
That's it.
Oh, okay. That's it. Like, 4 or 5 people was waiting on this album. So I can't blame him for shelving it, dude. Like, if I'm French Montana, like, I promise you, I done milked it. It's cool. I got over. I'm going to gracefully bow out. Unless a nigga calling me for a hook and giving me $100,000 or something, like, I'm done. I ain't got to drop another CD. I ain't got to do nothing. He done made enough money. Like, man, you done got over enough, French.
And that's it. And that's it. That's why this was a big deal.
No.
Because I guarantee you.
I expected
you,
this. Like, he ought to retire.
I guarantee you that the album was trash. So now he can go back to the drawing
no,
board.
No, don't.
Stop talking about the same shit. Stop impersonating Max B and make some quality shit, dude.
But see, you're talking about another artist. You're not talking about French Montana. You're not talking about someone who's going to go to the drawing board, come up with dope shit.
French Montana
can
do that.
When has he done that? When has anything that he's ever done not been an imitation of Max B? When has that ever happened?
His beats too cold for this nigga to be this.
No, they're not. His beats
his
are
beats
cold.
Be fire.
That's
no,
what I'm saying.
Don't do that.
Exactly. His beats are cold enough to keep him afloat while he imitates Max B. That's what I'm saying. And I ain't like no disrespect to French. I definitely respect how he done made his money.
Because he used to be the
he's
camera
a hustler.
Guy.
Yeah, he a hustler.
He used to be the DVD.
I definitely
man.
Respect him for that. But as a rapper, like I shelve everything for the rest of my life. All I'm doing is shows. We can get back into movies if we need to. I act.
No,
but man, French
no.
ain't got. French is never going to booth again.
He
be doing everybody a favor. I promise.
Now look, I'm gonna tell you exactly what happened. This is what happened.
He realized he couldn't rap.
Nah, he played the shit for Puff.
He realized he couldn't rap.
Look, he played the shit for Puff.
Did
he said,
Puff go
album.
Off on him?
Puff cussed him out for sure.
Puff went off on him.
He might have backhanded him.
1-10. Oh God, Jesus Christ! French the monkey would have went on in on
Puff.
Puff
might have backhanded.
If
French.
Puff smacked French, the monkey scratched the shit out of Puff.
Oh, the
that little
the
monkey
shoulder.
The French guy. Yeah, that little monkey. It went in on Puff.
The monkey don't want no part.
Puff still mad. Nah, Puff mad right nah. there to this day. He got a scratch under his eye just like Outbreak. Just like the little Outbreak monkey. Like the little Outbreak monkey that French Montana have on his shoulder. It went in on Puff if he smacked him.
Nah, Puff smacked the shit out of French.
The Outbreak monkey went in on Puff.
Told him to delete all them files that got anything to do with MC4. Which stands for Mac and Cheese 4, for those who don't follow.
If you
got to
name your shit Mac and Cheese 4, dog, you got to scratch it right then. Promise you. I promise
you. Oh, he did. He also mentioned he's starting a label with Max B. So I don't.
Will Max B get out of jail?
Nah, I mean, he did.
Oh, right now he doing it. Right now we starting a label with Max B, who's locked up for life. Okay. All right.
Allegedly.
Let's go, French. Let's do it. I'm all there for French. Let's go.
You're the only one.
Let's go, French. Shout me out and Big Jeff.
You have an open invitation to play that album for us. Let us know how it sounds.
Please let me know beforehand. I won't come. I swear. I'll miss that.
All right, man. A3C popped off in the A over the weekend.
Yes, man. Shout out to them.
Absolutely, big man. Lots of shows. Man. Lots of conferences, big dog shows, man. Heavy hitters. Mm. And a rap battle went down.
A battle happened.
Yes.
Who was it?
Between Pastor Troy and Bone Crusher.
You said a battle happened, though.
Yes.
Okay. Who battled, though?
Pastor Troy and Bone Crusher.
So they were emceeing. Did anybody battle? I want to know, like, what was the battle? Like, who was the battle rappers here? Are these two new guys coming up that took their names?
No.
It's not?
These are the OG Bobby Johnson.
These are the real Bone Crushers. This was the real Pastor Troy.
Yes.
And the real Bone Crusher.
I'm outside of the club and he think I'm a that dude, Bone Crusher.
The dude that we seen trying to get in the Hip Hop Awards not too long ago. Yes. Well, not even not too long ago. It's about 3-4 years ago, right? That was six years ago.
Nigga, now it's obvious that this is the worst battle in rap battle history.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
But
Keith Murray and somebody else.
This worse than that already.
Really?
Yeah,
it was Fredro Starr and Keith Murray.
This is worse than that.
I think somebody jumped out a window.
Then that make it way more entertaining than this shit. If somebody jumped out of a window, which two relevant rappers could do a battle and it actually be worth watching?
Right now today?
Yes. If it's even possible. I can hear like Kendrick.
No.
What?
No. Kendrick, don't nobody like... Nobody would take that challenge.
Kendrick and Andre 3000.
No. Fab and
Jada. Freddie versus Jason. I called it.
It's too close.
Set it up right now.
That's too close.
Get the fucking, get the goddamn live stream cracking. The battle, Freddie versus Jason, that's killing.
You gotta
Halloween night. Scrap the mixtape. Y'all not going to put it out anyway. Just do the battle, dude. One night only.
You got to go cross country. Like, you got to get out of New York. Like, Fab got to be representing all of New York. You can't put New York against each other like that.
You going to get somebody from who the fuck from the West Coast is battling other than Kendrick?
That's
fucking what's my guy name that be battling the yellow school bus dude? I can't think of his name. Yeah. Shout out California though. Fab, he be battling.
Yeah, let's relax off him though.
Absol,
ooh, against Fab.
Absol be battling already.
Schoolboy Q can rap against Fab.
Fuck out of here, Fab will fucking tomorrow.
You don't think so? Okay, all right.
The level of disrespect.
Schoolboy Q, he can't rap.
Nah, he can rap.
He can't rap against Fab. You're right.
Fab will body the
shit
out
of him. What about your boy Game? Fab and Game.
I can see that, though.
Fab and Game.
That'll be hard.
I could see Fab and Game.
Now, that'll be hard. Fab will body him, too, but it'll be hard.
I ain't going to say he body him. Game will keep it close.
Game will name drop Fab 1,000 times in his own
freestyle. But Fab will murder him in the end.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I'd much rather see Kendrick and somebody else, though.
But Kendrick gonna murder whoever.
That's not necessarily true.
That's a fact.
Just because you can rap don't mean you can battle, dude.
Nah.
It's a difference.
Okay, you're right, because I don't know shit about battle rapping. So you may be right, but I'm telling you that Kendrick will out-rap anybody that you put in front of.
But no lie, though. I'd rather see literally any other two rappers in Bone Crusher and Pastor Troy. Like, I don't know, you know, whose idea that was. And I fuck with Pastor Troy and everything. Though.
I don't know what Bone Crusher was doing there, how much they paid him, but Pastor Troy can rap.
Shout out PT. You got on by dissing a nigga you had never met. It worked. You've been eating off of it since.
He walks around with a championship belt.
You got the big dog dope WWE championship belt. All that is fly.
You gotta respect the nigga for walking around with a championship belt.
I'm fucking with PT Cruiser, dude, but I'm not going to no battle rap between him and anybody. Cruiser, that's what he called himself.
It's impossible. He ain't named himself after the worst car in the history of American made cars.
I'd rather see Kevin Hart battle himself. I'd rather watch that.
Chocolate Dropper versus Kevin Hart.
I'd rather see that.
Chocolate Dropper versus Tiger is a perfect battle.
Tiger.
That's what I would rather see least in this.
He'll wash Tiger.
That's a fact. That is a fact. We all know this. That's a fact.
Because remember, Joe Budden tried this not too long ago. He tried to get in
and
the ring.
He got washed. He got all emotionally upset.
He got
shout out to Joey, who's listened to the podcast before, but he got emotionally upset, right?
Yeah, that blew
Couldn't finish it. They went three rounds. It was
that jacked it. If two mainstream rappers battled, would that bring back, would more people do it? Would it bring back battling, which is already kind of back, but it's kind of fizzled out a little bit?
No.
It wouldn't?
Mm-mm.
If two big-name A-listers battled?
Because I don't see where they could do it and what the loser would benefit. Like, it ain't a stage big enough.
Money? If both got paid, just like a boxing match, dude. What's the loser benefit from that? A check.
But you got reputation to deal with when you're a rapper, though. Not like
this is a fact.
Like, if I'm a boxer, I can go knock a nigga out next week. and quiet all the critics. But if I'm a rapper, I gotta drop an album. Like if I go lose a battle, then it's gotta be a lot of shit lined up for me after that where that didn't affect me. Like I gotta have a fire ass album, single, features ready. Like, cause you gotta bounce back after that. A nigga embarrass you, and what you speaking of, like all rap is about is your bragging skills. So if a nigga embarrass you on your bragging skills, it's over.
Nigga on your face.
Yeah, your
shit.
Brand is ruined.
That's true.
That's why niggas won't do that shit.
It's too much on the line.
Yeah, exactly. Like, imagine Drake battling a nigga.
Yeah, they'd be
and
a
nigga crush
stupid.
Drake.
He could be whack if like, he crushed Drake his whole way.
Like, if I'm Drake, there's nobody on earth that I would battle. Because there's nobody that could put up what I could put up. You can't put up Hotline Bling, my nigga.
Yeah.
You can't do Controller. You can't do a billion Spotify plays.
Yeah,
you can't do this.
You're literally in a lose-lose.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man, for the music break. Tupac, man, has been gone for nearly 20 years.
Talk about Pac every week still.
I know, but that doesn't stop people, man, from comparing him to any and everybody. This happened twice last week. Jeezy said if Trump was a rapper, he'd be Tupac. And Wyclef said Young Thug reminds him of Tupac. Which one of these horrible comparisons is worse?
Wyclef should never be allowed to touch a microphone again comparing people. Like,
Wyclef should be brought up on charges.
Yeah, like this should be a federal charge. Like
at least
rap,
a misdemeanor.
Rap, federal endangerment, whatever it is, like criminal. Like assassination of character,
it's
whatever like we can take to make him charge for this, where he got to at least pay a fine, like you said, to contribute to hip hop with the money that was paid.
Oh.
It's crazy. Puck, Young Thug, what song? Where?
He said he reminded him of a modern Tupac, like artistically.
That's impossible. Like I just don't even see it.
He might need to do a weekend in jail. Like, Wyclef need to be
at least
need to
2 days
have a misdemeanor?
Just to come back down to reality.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he got to, because you two removed at that point.
Yeah, he said, Wyclef, if you know, was on Jeffrey's. He was on Young Thug's album, Jeffrey.
Yeah, I remember.
I think he co-produced like two
songs. He got
songs.
A song on there called Wyclef.
Exactly.
So
Young
biased,
Thug,
clearly.
When they met up, Young Thug lied to Wyclef and told him he was an inspiration. That was a lie.
How?
Just putting that out there.
Well, where did Young Thug hear Wyclef?
Call me
what song?
Call 911. Someone please call 911. Now, okay, now that I hear, listen to that, that might Young Thug.
How
might
old is Young Thug? What did he hear that on? BET? What is it? Uncle? Not Uncut. What
I
was
don't
it?
Know.
What was the Slow Jams BET?
He probably watched that on Cedar's World.
Not Young Thug. He ain't even that old. He don't even know who Cedar is.
Cedar in the cartoon.
He don't even know who that is. Like, it's a lot of people who listen to this don't even know who Cedar
was,
a little cartoon. I'm thinking, what was the little shit? Was BET played the Slow Jams late at night, though? Midnight Love?
Yeah. Yeah, Young
so he might have heard what someone please dial 911
and then be like, hold on, let me go in the booth.
Nah, he wasn't going to no booth. He was just listening to that shit. Cause you know he said he used to wear girl shoes to school.
Girl shoes? You mean like J's?
No,
like
nigga.
Girl Flavors J's.
Young Thug used to wear girls shoes to
like,
school.
What are you talking about?
Like with sparkles and shit like that.
Fuck out of here.
I
dude.
Promise
you, making
dog.
This shit up, too.
Dog, he said he used to wear girl's shoes to school.
That wasn't me, Thugger.
And listen, man, I'm just telling you what he said.
Look at the lights?
Yep, tough. With the glitter and shit on there. And his daddy used to whoop. Look, his daddy used to whoop his ass for it.
Nigga, that's Empire, dude. You just telling the Empire story.
Dog. I don't know if this nigga stole the story from Empire or what, but he said he used to wear girl shoes to school with glitter and shit like that on. His daddy whipped his ass for what he didn't care, and he's still warm.
Man,
and still
him?
Today, the Calvin Klein ads and the dresses on the album covers, he's still doing it. He said it. I heard it on Vlad. Vlad said this.
Let's not let Jeezy off the hook for saying Trump. Is Pac as well.
That's accurate though. In the politic world, Trump is Pac right now.
How?
He's shaking it like
no,
this.
No, he's not.
Everything,
he looks like an ass.
Listen, man, everything Pac did from the time that he shot them cops to raping the gal, to spitting on the thing, to beating the trial, to getting shot again. Like, Pac was none like, anything Pac did made headline news. Pac made rap and hip hop culture what it is today to be covered. They made MTV news because of Pac. Like, you had, like, him spitting on people, shooting the cops and all of this shit. That was Pac. They made MTV news because of that. So, like, Trump, every day, every fucking day, something ridiculous come out where he grabbing bitches by the pussy, locker room talking, and whatever it may be. You got to cover Trump every day. And Pac was just like it in his prime. I get what Jeezy was saying. It may have been a slightly out of context, but I get it. I get what Jeezy was going with it.
You borderline bullshitting Jeezy.
Nah, he was trying to be a little bit too, you know, he did the Luther Curl on that.
Nah, exactly.
That was Luther Curl Award.
You got too comfortable in the little podcast environment. You had been bonding with Tax. You had got comfortable.
I won't go that far.
And you said some dumb shit, though.
It ain't just dumb. It ain't dumb as Young Thug reminds me of Pac.
Nah, that was just,
let's not do this.
That was just blatant disrespect.
Right, so I at least get what Jeezy's saying. I get the whole he rules the media in the aspect of what he does. If you're talking about a politician right now, you're talking about Trump. If you're talking about a rapper when Pac was popping, you're talking about Pac.
That's whack. That's a reach.
It's better than that Wyclef shit.
Speaking of Jeezy, man, let's get this song break. He got a new project on the way, man. That Trap or Die 3 is around the corner. He dropped a new single featuring the late Bankroll Fresh. Mm. It is called All There, man. Let's check
it
out.
Dope.
Yeah. Dope boy, 95 Air Max song.
Talk to him.
Came from up the road, but you know we test home.
What else?
You want a whole thing? Hit me on the platform.
Yeah.
Hood nigga, hot Cheeto, what I snack on.
Yes.
Hood nigga, it ain't nothing to get you wet home. Trap nigga, nigga serving back to back, John. Standing in the kitchen with my white beater on.
Telling dope about the pot, straight drop, it's all there.
What's all there? Just ran through the bag, it's all there. All there.
Up if you wanna buy half, it's all there.
28, 36, 1,000, all there.
Telling dope about the pot, straight drop, it's all there.
What's all there? Just ran through the check, it's all there.
All there. Up if you wanna buy half, it's all there.
Yeah, 100 in my pocket, pink faces, all there.
It's all there, man. That was Jeezy featuring Bankroll Fresh. How you feel about that?
Song bang. I'm waiting on the Trap or Die 3.
Yeah, that's gonna be hard.
Jeezy done took it back. Took it back to the TM 101, I guess. Trap or Die.
Man. He said he took it back for a reason too, man.
Yeah.
Jeezy was on who podcast? Was that Tax?
Yep.
Very dope interview.
Very.
I do have a bone to pick with Jeezy before we get into this topic, though.
Mm.
He said he tried to give people Martin, but they didn't want to hear that. So now he's back to Trap or Die.
Martin Luther King.
Absolutely. He's referring to the politically correct EP that he dropped not too long ago, maybe last year.
Was it called Church for the Streets?
That too. He's referring to that too.
Right.
Bruh, like to me, and I don't think he meant this, but this is how it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds as if you gave the positive message thinking that it was going to catch on. It didn't. So now you're back to the dumb shit. And you're only doing that because that's what's keeping the registers ringing for you. And it's not that you actually give a shit. Again, not saying that he doesn't. That's just how it came off to me. It sounded a little fake. Like the only reason you did that was to get people talking. All nobody was talking about it. Okay, let me get back to this ignorance shit since y'all talk about that.
So you're saying that you don't think the message was authentic when he switched to Martin?
Right.
Okay.
I don't. At least when he says that. Oh, y'all didn't want to hear that, so I'm back to this. So were you really for real about that message if you in the first place? It came off as whack.
All right.
I wish you would elaborate it more.
I would take it a step further, and I would say I don't necessarily think that it was because of record sales. I think that he reverted back to the TM 101, the ignorant shit, the shit that you said niggas want to hear. Because when he was doing the Martin stuff, they flexed up on Jeezy. And when I say they, I mean the system. Jeezy had a murder charge during his time.
Cali.
When he dropped that out in Cali, he had a murder charge. And like he was saying on that podcast, him and people, not his homeboys, people that work for him, CTE, not people he was in the streets with, not people who he broke bread with, not people who could sit in jail and endure this. People who weren't used to like shit like that, sitting in jail on some murder charges, right?
Right.
He had to sit there and look at people in the eye and be like, yeah, I mean, y'all are here because of me and what I got going on. I really felt like that he thought that that was too much of a burden. And that's just what I heard when he said they wanted Martin. They started fucking with me when I gave them Martin. So I'm going to go ahead and give them what they cool with and continue to make my means doing this rap shit. That's what I took from it. I don't necessarily think it was a money decision. I think it was a comfortability decision, if that's a word at all. But I think that he couldn't take or didn't want to take the heat that motherfuckers take for being leaders. Like, if you gonna act like
that's
Martin,
even wacker though, bro.
I ain't saying it ain't. I'm just saying, if you gonna act like Martin, if you gonna put this out there and you got the following that Jeezy got, and you not expecting that type of backlash,
yeah,
something wrong. Like, you ain't paying attention if you Jeezy. And like what Jeezy said, I'm gonna go back to doing this, build my bag up, so the next time they come for me, I'll be ready. No, because you feeding the beast. That's what they want you to do, is think you building your bag up by continuing to put the bullshit out.
At what expense are you building the
exactly
bag?
Exactly. Exactly. So, like, how many lives you got to, like, well, not, I ain't going to say lives, but what you got to spare to build your bag up?
Right.
So, like, if you get to the point where you spitting more than shit, if you saying I'm more than doing this, then you got to think that far ahead, too. Like, we just two regular niggas that listen to rap.
Right.
So, if we thought about it, I know he did. That nigga done sold 10 million records.
You give him a little too much.
He sold 10 million records.
We'll say 5.
6.
Nah, but I wish he would have elaborated more on that. I would love for Jeezy to sit down.
Come holler at us. We right here in Atlanta. We'd love to talk about that.
Absolutely. Shout out to Snowman.
Yeah.
All right, so look. We saw a picture over the weekend, man. DJ Khaled took a picture with Jay, Ja Rule, and DMX.
Yes, only DJ Khaled can.
Absolutely. Winning Street continues. Now, back in the day, man, you may remember that they were supposed to be a group called Murder Inc. They were supposed to come out with a project. Obviously, it never happened. Ja Rule and them ran with the name, and the rest is history. First of all, that group would have been the shit. Let's be very clear about that. The project would have been fire.
Exclude Ja Rule and we good.
Nah, he got the hooks. It would have been fire. And I think DMX and Ja Rule are two totally different people, but at the same time, they're both talented. I think the project would have worked.
I don't think
that. I think Ja would have been the glue.
Ja Rule would have been the glue.
Yeah, he'd have been the glue for the
Get
hooks.
Get the fuck
shit.
Out of here, man.
That should have been fire.
You're a closet Ja Rule fan. You the biggest Ja Rule fan I know.
I did buy all the albums.
You the biggest Ja Rule fan that I know. On record. You on record to be like, I like Vina Vita Vici.
Yep.
Like, you like the Ashanti joints. Yep. You're a Ja Rule fan.
I was.
First address that. But yeah, like, DJ Khaled, I don't necessarily know if I call this something special, but he was able to get the photo op. I don't know if Jay-Z looked really comfortable. Looked like he didn't want to be there.
Right.
Two washed up niggas and me. That's what he looked like on his face. Murder Inc. would have been cool. I wasn't a big Ja Rule fan ever. Never bought an album. Never listened to a whole album. Only was privileged to the single, so I'm with the Ja Rule that 50 crushed. You know what I'm saying? DMX to me, beast. Should have held it out. He would have been relevant longer. Stop smoking crack. You'd have been right.
That'd have been crazy. That group would have been dope, though.
It would have been cool.
But so that got us thinking. What okay. if? There's a lot of what ifs in hip hop.
Hip hop what ifs.
We're gonna keep it central to artists almost signing with different labels.
Okay.
Because we could do this. It's too wide to say what if on every fucking thing.
Yeah, we can go down that rabbit hole and be there all day.
Exactly. So we're going to keep it to a couple of artists that almost signed with one label but ended up not for whatever reason. Who the first one you got?
First one with the finesse.
Okay.
Let's go with the most obvious one, the one that we probably talked about before, people talked about a lot. But today I think it plays relevant because you can ask what would have happened if Wayne had a went on with Jay, did the Def Jam, but the Rockefeller thing. I feel like had he done that, he would have more good albums. One, because he would have a better musical ear next to him. Two, I feel like him and Baby would have still been cool. Like right now,
after
today,
leaving?
Yeah.
No.
Cause look,
would have never forgave him.
Wayne's never gonna forgive Baby for stealing $56 million plus dollars right now. So I feel like the whole $56 million situation would have never happened. I feel like they could have got over Wayne leaving, and it could have been more so of a mutual friendship as opposed to, you my son, you work for me, I can get over on you and get this little money, you shouldn't worry about it because I put you on, I made you what you are. Because I feel like that's how Baby look at Wayne. He always gonna look at him like, you're not the businessman that I am. Like, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have this. And that just ain't healthy for a business relationship. Like, he's never gonna look at Wayne as the person who brought Drake around, who brought Nicki around, who was able to do all of these things. Like, Wayne transformed himself from what we seen in the Hot Boys as a 9-year-old dirty nigga with dreads and big ass jeans on,
right,
to the biggest star in the fucking world as far as rap. You know what I'm saying? So like, all of that could have been played out differently, I feel like, and more effectively, and had a better standing for him today, where he ain't battling with his CEO over what he need to put out, doing his last album in Carter 5. I feel like had he signed with Def Jam, business wise, musically, all of this stuff, he would have just been in a better situation, and you wouldn't have this watered down trash Wayne that we have today.
Now, you said it yourself, Wayne ended up being the biggest rapper on the face of the earth at one point in time.
That's
so that right there tells you, you can't be bigger than the biggest rapper on earth.
Okay.
So he made the right decision staying where he was at from that standpoint.
How much Baby have to do with it?
I don't know.
I do.
It doesn't matter.
Let me tell you.
And then, so this was around 06. Mm-hmm. This was after Carter 2, before Carter 3. He stayed with Baby, drops the Carter 3, goes platinum in a week, drops his first number one single with the Lollipop shit.
Mm-hmm.
Becomes a fucking bona fide worldwide star, dude.
Fact.
And he's been that ever since, despite what we may think of the trash ass music that he's been putting out. So you can't say it didn't work. It worked. Now his pockets could be a little heavier, but he wouldn't have got that check with Jay-Z either, because Jay-Z wasn't giving him that bag like he had to. So either way it go,
but
you wouldn't have them M's.
Okay, but the relative term here is work, right? You're saying work in the sense of, yes, he did accomplish these things, but look where he is right now, right?
He's still Wayne.
He's Wayne, but would you rather be Wayne right now in court every fucking week with Baby and Jazz Prince about Drake? Or would you rather be Wayne, who probably would have had better tutelage under Jay-Z, and I'm instead owning a team, maybe the Hornets. I'm doing stuff, maybe a TV, like the whole music movie deal. Like, I'm doing stuff to better my brand as opposed to protesting niggas, not doing rap. Like, for all we know, Wayne don't rap no more. For all we know, Wayne still mad at Baby. For all we know, Wayne and Baby got a great relationship. He just don't want to do the shit for Universal. We don't know. And I'm saying, had he went the other route, we would know. He would be one of the most successful, biggest, richest rappers ever. Yeah, you do that. He is in there too quick, nigga. You know what I'm saying? And we would be cool with it, but instead we's left to wonder, like, what if Wayne had left and was able to capitalize on everything that he set up when he was at Cash Money?
I think that's a big what if, because the bag wasn't as big when he was going to go. That's why he stayed.
That's a fact.
So let's say that after him not getting paid all his money from Baby,
right,
and what he would have gotten from Def Jam is even. Mm-hmm. I'll call that a wash. Because the check was would probably end up being the same.
Mm-mm.
We can't say he not getting paid at all. Wayne been shaking shit.
Mm-mm.
For years, so we can't say he ain't got paid. Now the thing is, does he have Drake and does he have Nicki if he signs a Def Jam? Now that is another dynamic.
Now you're throwing. Okay, before I address the Drake and Nicki thing, the other thing is, you're right, I do get this upfront money fucking with Baby, but it's like, do I want to be rich, or do I want my kids to be rich fucking with Jay? That's what you're asking yourself.
Now, that's a fact.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I can be rich fucking with Baby, or my kids can be rich fucking with Jay. And we've seen that work out. Now, with the Nicki and Drake thing, I don't know. I don't know if you signing them. I don't know if you are able to be that CEO type dude, because we ain't seen Jay really develop no talent, right?
Don't do that.
What? What are you talking about? Rihanna?
Rihanna, Neo.
Okay.
Don't do that. That marketing plan was me. Don't do that.
So, okay. All right. So, even give Jay that credit then. So, let's say that he run that by Jay and Jay. Okay, yeah, run it. That's even more added to it. Like, even without Drake and Nicki, I feel like what he would have had with Jay is a proper trade-off. Because you got Wayne, I think, at this point in time, instead of battling with Baby in court, what he's doing is shit similar to what Kanye doing with fashion, similar to what people who up under Jay-Z are doing with movie scores. You know what I'm saying? Like, he gonna have all these other different things going sports on. Agencies. Yeah, Jay did that shit right. Jay got that shit set up where he making plenty of money off it, and I think Wayne did that shit improper. You got the bullshit Young Money sports or whatever that he said he's trying to work on. He can't get his deal off the ground. He's still trying to do his fifth album for the fifth year.
What's the clothing line?
Hey, who knows? Truck fit. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what's going on with that. Like, all of that shit I feel like would have been different had he just left when it was cool. And him and Baby still be like, Baby would have been juicing some other nigga for them $50 million. Not Wayne.
Before
it might have been Tiger.
Before we move on to the next person, I'm picturing a new Roc Nation after Jay leaves Dame with Wayne, with Nicki, with Drake, with Ye, Rihanna.
Beyonce.
That
would have made Jay like,
that's the Warriors.
Black Rockefeller for real, dude. That is the Warriors. God.
That would have been crazy.
That's a dream team for real.
Man, moving on, man. I'm going to keep it somewhat in the area, man. Your boy 2 Chainz.
Yeah. True.
He had the joint with Player Circle, man. Duffel Bag Boys, Wayne on the hook, man. They bonded.
It found dude nothing. Yeah, killed ball.
That's when Wayne Hook game was A1.
Oh, man, what?
Man, Wayne was on him heavy, tried to sign him to Young Money. 2 Chainz turned it down, saying he didn't want a click hop. Of course, 2 Chainz, for the record, was on DTP.
Click hop is funny.
Yeah, it was.
As only my nigga Chainz could put it.
He was on DTP, man. Ludacris' label, so he didn't want to go from him to Wayne label. 2 Chainz is very successful now.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt, as a solo artist.
Facts.
I think he clearly made the right move.
True.
I don't know if Wayne would have known what to do with 2 Chainz.
He wouldn't have. Chainz is his own entity, and I don't feel like Chainz, like, the reason he don't work under a nigga like Ludacris, he wouldn't work under a nigga like Wayne, he ain't gonna work in a Player Circle type group. 2 Chainz is just too big of a personality to be playing off of somebody.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't going to work unless it's him
and
doing.
Wayne.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, on a collaborative
album. Yeah, on a collaborative album. Yeah, with a colleague, bro. That's dope because you know it's only so much that you giving it.
Right.
But he still got to do, before he even get to that point, he got to do the I'm different. He got to do the riding around, I'm getting it. He got to do the Keishas. He got to do the polo boots or low boots on. Yep. He got to do all of that. Before you even get to the point where I'm going to do this with Wayne and I ain't going to get overshadowed by what Wayne doing. Because niggas didn't know what to call him at first. Is it Titty Boys or 2 Chainz? What is it?
Yeah.
Once he established himself, it was over. But I just felt like he had to step amongst, like, get away from himself. And it was good that it was Ludacris, a trash rapper.
That's hate.
You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody that he could just dog walk in the booth lyrically.
Oh, my God.
And it was somebody like that. Necessarily, he couldn't do that to Wayne because Wayne was busy being the biggest rapper ever. It was somebody like Ludacris who was falling off, doing movies and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it was a good move by him to go to DTP and then just shit all over them.
And then
shout out to them, though.
Young Money ain't the only label that Chainz just passed up on, man. If you take it back to 2012, Kanye put out the tweet. If y'all remember this, he said 2 Chainz is charging $100K a verse now. He's good music. Now, Kanye was on him heavy trying to get him to good music. And he kind of co-signed him.
He murdered that Mercy. He was like Def Jam tried to align him for a minute.
He was aligned with him real low-key. And that's why I give 2 Chainz this, which was smart as hell. He didn't sign with Young Money, but he aligned next to him because he had Wayne on the song.
Tough.
He didn't sign with Kanye, but he aligned next to him because he murdered that Mercy. Very smart. So his stock grew. He was in front of way more eyes than he would have been next to Dollar Boy and Player Circle. No shots to Dollar and Player Circle. But let's be honest, that ain't Ye.
And DTP.
And DTP. Shout out to other people on DTP who I can't even think of right now.
That's who they are.
That was a very smart play by 2 Chainz. He's a smart businessman. He got the CEO millionaire clothes popping right now. Like
he had the dab Santa shirts.
All of that.
Banging.
You got one on right now. It's not even Christmas. It's crazy. So, yeah, I give 2 Chainz
props. Shout out to the Cosby sweaters in the building.
What else, man? Who else you got?
Facts. Man, an interesting one to me to bring my boy back up. And like I say, I always bring him up in kind of a love-hate relationship because I feel like he need to be doing so much. I ain't going to say so much better, but I just want more from him, right?
Who then?
Crit.
Okay.
Crit potentially at one point in time could have signed with CTE. What's CTE? Corporate Thugs Entertainment, Jesus Snowman.
Yep.
How would that have worked, in your opinion,
okay,
as a hip-hop fan, Crit on CTE?
The fact that you had to say what CTE was and then reference whose label it was lets me know exactly how that would have worked out. It would have worked out the same for Freddie Gibbs when he was on CTE.
Because Freddie Gibbs ain't...
It would have worked out the same for whoever the hell else was a boo. Who else was on CTE, dude?
Let me tell you why this would have been different.
Exactly.
Because I don't know who Boo is. I have no idea who that is.
Boo Rossini
I don't know who that is, dude.
Shout
I have
out
no
to
idea.
Them.
I don't know
Mississippi.
Who I don't know who that is, though.
But, dog, it no, man. It wouldn't have worked. Crit is too big of a talent. He's a producer. He's
too
a rapper.
Big of a talent.
Yeah, Jeezy doesn't know what to do with his artists. He's proven that time after time. And that's no knock to Jeezy. He's just one of those dudes better suited to make his own shit. He has his own sound down to a science.
Fact.
You're better off doing that and then jumping in an arena like Liquor with the Avion or something other than having a label and having your own clothes, because ASM32 was trash.
No, man. Oh my God.
But first it wouldn't have worked out.
You done? You finished or you done?
Crit made the best move for himself.
No, he didn't. All right. So this is what would have happened had he signed with CTE. What you just said about Jeezy not being able to develop artists,
facts,
is true, because you're dealing with bad artists. I've never seen a good artist on CTE.
Blood Raw?
Who? Exactly. So what I'm saying is this. Crit is an artist who's able to make his own music. Like you said, he produces. He's good. Crit is a good artist. So he would have been on CTE. He would have been able to compliment Jeezy as far as the yin and the yang. You're talking about the bad. I'm talking about the conscious, the good, the other side of what you're talking about. I feel like they would have played off of each other so well to where it would have elevated both of their games.
A song
like,
would have been great.
No,
yes.
No. Not even a song. I'm talking about a constantly playing thing as to where you got Jeezy with this dude on his label who you know is representing completely the other side of necessarily what you're talking about, and able to provide a soundtrack for that, though.
Yeah.
Like, I'm able to give you the music, the soul samples. We can do the mixtapes because that's what you good at. That's what I'm good at. We ain't even necessarily got to take this to Def Jam and let them get it out. We just got to put this out there for the streets and let them know how well we work together. I feel like that would have elevated Crit. That would have elevated Jeezy. He would have been able to do his Martin thing. He would have been able to fully capitalize what he was trying to do with this last shit, right? And with Crit, he able to capture that audience who never really actually fuck with him. Because niggas know Big Crit, but they don't really like listening to his shit unless he with UGK, unless he with Bun B, unless he with Lito, unless he listening to niggas who talk about that street shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, they think that Crit the nigga who talking about some shit they don't want to hear. That ain't necessarily true. He just talking about it in a different manner. You hook him up with a nigga like Jeezy who you said, like, give him a dope ass hook, or even can give him a dope ass concept for a song. Jeez ain't necessarily got to write. I mean, necessarily got to do nothing on the song, but just give him some insight. Some, like,
direction.
This how a street nigga think about it.
Right.
You give me how you'll come from a conscious nigga, and let's put this shit together and make some dope music. I feel like they could have did that for a long time. And that's exactly what both of those dudes are missing in their careers right now to take them to the next level. Jeezy stuck in this place where he trying to get to that next level. He tried it with the one shit. It didn't work. Crit stuck in this place, but he trying to get to that next level. He did it with the last stuff. He had to leave Def Jam. It ain't worked.
Right.
Those two niggas could have worked well together. That would have been some dope shit.
The whole theory behind CTE signing Crit was he was going to be their Kanye.
Exactly. There,
which
go.
In theory sounds fucking awesome.
It is. A
but you need a roster
Kanye
to go with that.
No, though. No, you don't. You need Jeezy and Crit.
Nah, I need more than
I
that.
I don't need Boo Rossini. I don't need Blood Raw. I don't need, what's the other
Damn,
nigga name from the
man.
Boulevard? What's the nigga name right now to still rap with him?
I can see his nigga right now,
oh,
dude.
God, the short nigga. What's the short nigga
name?
Slick
Puller.
Man? Slick Puller. I don't need Slick Puller, Blood Raw, Boo Rossini. I don't need none of them. He could have did Crit. He tried to sign Lito back in the day. He could have did that. Yep. And that would have been it.
Yep.
I'm good.
What if, boy? All right. Another one.
All right.
Snoop Dogg. Now, Snoop, of course, was Death Row at first. Then he went to No Limit.
Mm.
Early 2000s, man, on the PIMP remix with 50.
They heard about me.
Exactly. They bonded super close and started talking. Hey, man, let's go ahead and link up, man. Let's get the da-da-da-da-da-da. This was 50 was on fire. You hear me? On fucking fire. G-Unit was on fire. Snoop was 2 seconds away from inking a partnership deal with G-Unit. Did he make the right decision by not doing so?
Snoop? Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, because Snoop going to flourish regardless, so that would have been a win for 50.
And that would have been click hopping.
Of course. Like, Snoop done been, you done been Death Row, you done come been on No now. Limit, now you G-Unit. Like,
nah,
Snoop,
too
much of a G for that. I'm glad that didn't happen, really. If 50 was able to pull that off, though?
Yeah, that would have been beast mode.
Listen to me, 50 would have been regarded as a whole nother monster, because 2 weeks ago we talked about Fab.
Yeah.
So you talk about Fab, you talk about Snoop.
Yeah.
Then you got Game, Mobb Deep. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, all of these people, fuck. 50 was able to influence to come over there and say, hey, fuck with me, I'm gonna make this shit pop. He would have been regarded as a bigger CEO, a bigger mogul.
Agreed.
Had he been able to do that.
And see, here's the thing though, and I'm glad Snoop didn't do this, because Snoop had just got put up on Game by P.
Exactly.
If you listen to Snoop talk about Master P in any
he taught
interview,
him business.
He's gonna tell you P
taught
me how to
business.
Get money. And I guarantee you, signing to a nigga that signed to 2 other people is not the way to get paper, dude. So Snoop hasn't been associated with nobody since. Like, it's just been him.
Snoop, Snoop Lion.
Yeah, I mean, he'll dip in there with Pharrell, Snoop Lion. So I think that was a very smart move.
Yeah, he got a joint venture with Jazzy Faye right now in the label they got going. Yeah, tough. That's
Jazzy
what,
Faye?
Tough. Come on, man, you knew that.
Fuck out.
Off the Mogul Show, the black dude that was singing the song.
I remember Jazzy Faye.
Jazzy Faye was the nigga that made the beat and shit for the song Black Man in America.
Oh, with the singing dude.
Yeah. That's their label.
Okay, I ain't mad at that then.
Well, I mean, with that being said, imagine how much input Jazzy Faye had.
Shout out Jazzy Faye, though.
Shout out Jazzy Faye. What you got?
Last one, man. Yay. Kanye,
easy,
man.
Easy.
Before he took off, man, he was in them Capitol buildings, man. Capitol Records playing that Jesus Walks. And they were like, we straight. And they passed up on him. They had a chance to ink the great Yeezus. Of course, we all know what happened, man. He ended up Rockefeller to my home. He could have been Capitol Records, his home to Katy Perry, Elton John. Neither of those people rap, but they're fucking megastars.
Katy
so,
Perry got the most Twitter followers on earth, right?
See what I'm saying? So, did he make the right play by going to Def Jam? All
right, let me ask you something before I answer this.
Okay.
If you were A&R and a nigga brought you Jesus Walks, are you signing him?
Nope.
Okay. Make sure I wasn't crazy.
Not to say that the song was whack. Not to say it wasn't
banging. I ain't fucking with that, though.
Yeah,
I'm not fucking with that at all.
Pop.
I'm not fucking with that thinking you're going to pop. I'm not fucking with that seeing the future. I'm not
yeah,
that
I'm
progressive.
Not, I ain't that cold.
It's just not me. Yeah, maybe I'm a bad A&R.
I ain't that
But you bring me Jesus Walks, I'm going to take your CD. Thank you for coming.
O2, Kronk, and Snap.
And tell you
shit?
I give you a call.
Nah.
But, I mean, I feel like if he had been in the Capitol building, Kanye might have been an even bigger star. Because think of the people that you name. I don't think anybody over there got it. But nobody at Def Jam, nobody at Rockefeller got it either. Kanye's just that big of a beast. And you know I'm not the biggest Kanye fan at all. He's just that big of a beast that he was able to...
Dame believed in him.
No, he didn't.
No,
fully
Dame did.
No, he did not.
Dame the one that fucking...
He took a chance. I don't necessarily say he believed in him. Dame a gambler. Dame the same nigga to tell you don't go to work.
But he not gambling on
he ain't,
nothing,
he ain't necessarily to believe, but he the same nigga that's going to put his money into something, not necessarily knowing if it's going to work. Pro Kids, State Property, Benny Siegel, all of that
he
stuff.
He believed in Pro
I ain't
Kids.
Necessarily... Who?
What? He believed in Pro
look
Kids.
Look at Pro Kids. That's what I'm saying.
No, he fucking garbage.
I don't know if Dame believed in him. Dame took a chance on him. Let's say that.
Nah, he rolled the dice.
He rolled the dice. I don't know who necessarily believed in a nigga with fat jaws coming from Chicago with his shit wired up. Like, he had dope beats. I know people believed in that. Capitol wanted him to sign him for that.
Yeah.
But I just don't necessarily see anybody believing in that. I think it was Kanye, me personally. He powered himself through. Had he been anywhere, I think this dude would have probably pushed himself to where he is right now. Because he got that in him.
Dude,
a superstar.
But I think him with The Rock, that whole story fits. It just sound way
because we
better,
love though. The Rock, though.
That's
we
what I'm saying.
We love that shit.
But he part of the reason why. You don't get no blueprint with him signing to Columbia. Ain't no blueprint. Straight
I don't
up.
Know that. I don't
no,
know that.
Ain't no blueprint. This was 02, 01. He was in the Capitol Studios.
Yeah, well, if it was 02, then it was after the Blueprint.
That's a good point.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying.
Maybe
so
you still get the Blueprint.
If you still get the Blueprint and you go to Columbia as Kanye West, then what you get is probably Jay Electronica for real. Right, like the dude who we thought Jay Electronica was when he was going to come out with a CD 5-6 years ago, when everybody thought he was cold and dope, and everybody thought all this stuff about him. That's what you get if you get Kanye going to Columbia, someone who's actually doing the music. I don't necessarily think that Rockefeller did as much for Kanye once he did Blueprint. I will give you Blueprint. Once he did that, though, I think, man, that shit was all him, dude. He was the nigga going in there doing 808s and heartbreaks. He was the nigga making Big Brother. He was the one doing the soul sample beats. Dude, regardless of how much you like him or whatever, he a revolutionary, dude. He ain't Walt Disney. He ain't that. But he a monster.
But to be fair, you can see why he pops off the way he pop off. Though.
I can't do that. No, don't do that. I ain't going that far. No,
because for years.
Because that's
niggas,
crazy to me.
Now, for years, niggas told him, bro, just stick to motherfucking beats, dog. And when you standing on the stage and motherfuckers are shaking life underneath you and they can't even see you.
Off that hand, yeah, I can see that.
And they're word for word.
Off that hand, yeah.
And you told people that bro, I can rap too. Like, are you serious? You expect the nigga not to say nothing about this shit?
No, not to say
I'm
nothing.
Walt Disney. I'm Steve Jobs. I'm God. I'm all of that
good
shit.
Good point.
Because nobody fucking believed in me. I played you this banger, Jesus Walks. Told you motherfuckers were going to be singing this shit in the club. You didn't believe me, nigga. And I put it out and it worked, dude. Like, no. There's no way. You can't tell me shit. No one on earth can tell me
That's
shit if
point.
I'm Kanye West.
I mean, it depends on how you handle it, though.
No, fuck that, dude. They closed the door in his face.
No one closed the fucking door in his face. The nigga made the Blueprint, dude. Nigga, fuck you. Like, we ain't got to, like, damn, we ain't got to kiss your ass. Shit, we giving you credit, nigga. God. But, I totally get what you're saying, though.
Oh, shit.
I totally, like, he is one of the few people, even on a bigger scale than Jay, because Jay had to do that shit by himself, like they always tell the story about shopping Rockefeller from label to label. He did it on a bigger scale. You know what I'm saying? He did it to Rockefeller.
Right.
They didn't believe in me and I did it and I'm big. So I get being the asshole sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I don't necessarily agree with it all the time, but you definitely buy into it more knowing that, hey, man, like, I told y'all this, dude.
Right.
I don't necessarily buy into the fashion stuff and all that stuff that he said about that, but I get the other stuff, dude. I will say that.
Before this music break, one more real quick. I'm sliding this one in there.
Okay. Pause.
Absolutely. Wale almost signing to The
Who?
Rock. He almost signed to Def Jam, Rock Nation. Instead, he went MMG. Good move, bad move. Should he have went with Jay and
Good
Def
move
Jam?
For Rock Nation for passing on Wale. That's what we going to do there.
That's hating, dude.
I mean, hey, it's a good move for them, dude. They ain't have to deal with that headache.
Now it's a good move for Wale to go to MMG. That was a very good move for him.
Why? For who?
MMG? That was a good move for Wale.
Oh.
Because it's you would have went to Def Jam, you'd have been the 3,427th rapper signed to Def Jam.
I mean, but you're still that.
No, when you sign to MMG, it's not just you. You're part of a movement. You're part of a camp.
Oh,
it's strength in numbers. So when people see 3-4 niggas in all black MMG jackets, cups, hats, it looks, it's just a bigger, it pushed Wale to the forefront way more than he would have been able to do on his own.
That's a fact.
He's a little too weird to get that movement on his own. He would have had a nice little niche audience, and then he would have got dropped 2 years later like Big Crit.
Just like when he dropped the attention deficit.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Now you standing next to Ross, who's a borderline star in his own right at the time.
Rick Ross is a superstar. That's not
okay. That's fair.
Yeah, he's a superstar.
You stand next to Ross, he's a star. You standing next to Meek Mill, he's a young up and coming. This was pre Drake L's.
Was
exactly. So you look good in a sense of we got a squad. It remind you of G Unit. Like picture Lloyd Banks on his own with no other teammates, dog.
Can't.
It wouldn't have fucking worked.
Can't do it. Won't do it.
That's what I'm So I think Wale made the right move, man, by going with MMG. It's a lot of other people. We can be on this shit all night.
I mean, you bring up an interesting point to go off topic, though, but Lloyd Banks or Wale, who the big old artist? In
oh, without
prime.
Question.
In their prime.
It's Wale.
Really? Bigger than Lloyd Banks?
He got bigger singles. He got bigger singles. If Wale had those exact same songs when people were actually buying albums, he would have done the same numbers as Lloyd
Wale,
Banks. Wale,
I mean, now nah, hold on, though. Wale's biggest single was Bad.
That's a fucking huge single.
And what else, though?
What, nigga, what is Lloyd Banks' biggest single, dude?
Karma. Done it.
Fuck out of here.
Done it. What is the name? I don't even know the name of
that's
the song.
That's my point, dude. Stop.
What is the name of the song? Now nah, you know that. Off, I mean, off, no, off, wait, though. What's the single off Hunger for More, though?
Hold
act
on,
like the single off Hunger for More wasn't popular.
Wale had the Lotus Flower Bomb, too, with Miguel.
Ooh. I mean, but the,
it's cheating and all of that. But it's still,
let's
still
not
smashing.
Act like the single. What was the single off Lotus?
Nigga,
I mean,
don't know.
Hunger for More.
Who knows? Nobody knows. What was Lloyd Banks'
on
single?
Fire,
nobody
turn
knows.
It up. It was something like "On Fire," gonna turn it
nigga,
up.
That was
some
every
G-Unit like
single,
yeah,
nigga.
That's a fact.
Get 50 on the hook and the bridge. That's the single.
I can't think of the name of that goddamn song. I don't know.
Break?
I don't know. They might have been the title right there.
Nah, Wale bigger than him.
Wale was second. He's second on MMG.
That's
Lloyd
fine.
Banks was second on.
No,
G-Unit.
Lloyd Banks was third
behind Book.
Yes.
Wow.
Hot at you.
You don't believe
50.
That.
That's a fact.
That's only because we from Tennessee. You don't believe that he was second behind him.
Go in the rap chat, everybody listening. Who was a bigger artist in their prime?
Lloyd Banks, a Young Buck,
or Wale? I was gonna do, but nah, you can tell me that. Who
whoever.
Was the bigger artist
out of the three?
Give me the ranking of the three in G Unit. We know Tony Yayo was last. You don't got to include him. Give us the three.
It's easily Lloyd Banks, Young Buck, Yayo.
Like, first of all,
Buck is not first
it's
in the ranking.
50 Buck.
No, 50 is unquestioned.
Banks, Yayo.
Nah,
that's the order. Game. We're not gonna count Game. He's only there for one album.
Nah,
the Game was bigger than
second,
Banks,
bro.
Too.
Game bigger than Banks?
Game did fall five times platinum, bro.
Banks was the best rapper in the group.
I don't mean shit.
It did then.
Nigga, 50 wasn't the best rapper. He was number one. What is your point?
That's because he walked around with his shirt off.
I'm finna start doing that after I get in this gym.
Then you're gonna be the worst rapper in this group. Moving on.
Man, let's get to this song, bro, man. E-40 is back with a new one. He got a winning streak going on right now, real low key.
I put niggas on Fonzarelli back on Charlie Hustle. I just want to say that right now.
He had been rapping way before then, though. You know,
I'm just saying, and where we were from, I bought that Charlie Hustle. Actually, now I was in a major way.
Dixie.
Yeesh.
Well, he's back. He's got two new albums around the corner.
That's a fact.
Check out the new single, man. It's called Petty, featuring Kamaya.
Most of these bitches is petty.
Most of these bitches is petty, frivolous. I'm having my skrill and my fatty, privileges. Only smoke gas, not no Reggie. Power, broccoli, organic veggies, sour. Send him to hell, not to heaven. Go through the Teflon FM57. Somebody call the Amulams and the Reverend. Teach a fuck nigga a valuable lesson. Scorpio, that's my astrology. 40, my rover, an autobiography. Story, oyster perpetual prezi. The S is all up in my bezzy. Puck rock bitch, go dig it hoe. All up in the function with your best friend clothes. Always start something, you a messy asshole. Little groupie ass bitch on stage at the show. As far as these niggas, they petty too. Irrelevant. They hate on real niggas like me and you. Relevant. They jealous, conniving, and sneaky. Shiesty. Don't wanna be them, wanna be me. Icy. They see me on TV all over the net. They heart full of envy, but hurt and upset. Their pockets is pennies, my pockets a check. You say you my enemy, I'm on your neck.
Most of these bitches is petty. 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 Most of these petty. Most of these bitches is petty, petty, petty. Most of these bitches is petty, 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 petty.
Oh shit!
Most of these bitches is petty.
I guess I'm the one that they hate now. You bitches is played out. I made it, ain't got shit to say now. You bitches is spaced out. I'm in my own way out the bed now. So my crib is way out. You bitches still riding the Greyhound. I pull up and race now. I got big money, all facts. Petty bitches can't fall back. Got a binge, yeah, I bought that. And I been the shit, yeah, I'm all that. Low money, I got tall stacks. I can stand on it, I can land on it. I got bands, homie, rubber bands on it. Yeah, I got here cause I planned on it. I'm the realest chick to ever do this shit. From the West Coast, now I run the shit. I'm the same one that y'all keep on talking about but ain't fucking with. Speak on me, but they're talking cheap, cause y'all sneak this on some sucker shit. Come on, be my name, ho, when you speak on me, say my government. Don't be petty, bitch.
Most of these bitches is petty. Most of these bitches is petty.
Most of these bitches is petty.
Petty. I fuck with that. I ain't gonna lie.
E-40 murdered that.
He did. He
my
snapped
boy.
On that.
I've been calling him for years now.
Old girl ripped it too though. That's gal from Why You Always Hating, the YG. That's all.
She got some new shit out, right?
Yeah, she got a new single out with YG, so she doing her thing on top of being on this.
What's her name?
Kamaya.
Kamaya.
Yeah, shout out to her. This is called Petty. E-40 new album. He got a new double disc. Actually, no. You know he don't do double discs.
We ain't doing that for it. Nah.
He drops two CDs.
Yeah, exactly. We get two budgets, baby.
Yeah.
Two big dog budgets. Let me tell you why he do that. We get two big dog budgets.
Yep.
For two CDs.
Yep.
We use one budget for both CDs, and we pocket the other budget.
Tough.
Let's go.
And then you got them and count the zeros, nigga, when you sell about 12,000. That's all they need.
That's why we 47 still rapping, man.
He ain't gonna drop no mixtape. He gonna drop an album. Barcode.
If he can do that many songs, like he said, I can do two for one. I drop one, put the other in my pocket. Like Jesus said, man, it ain't about that, man. It's all about the whip game, man.
I think it come out next. I want to say November, man. Ain't no date on it. I'm not sure, but this is easily his. He's at 20 plus.
Yeah,
gotta
man.
Be
easy. 27.
26 and 27, I think. Look at the D-Boy Diary, man. Y'all be on the lookout for that E-40.
Yep.
All right.
Hoodie season around the corner, man. Perfect weather for that.
Absolutely, man. Look, quote of the week. We taking this from an interview. Yo boy, Beanie Siegel. This might be the last time I mention this nigga name all year. I'm gonna be honest.
That's not true.
I'm a little Beanie Siegel'd out right now.
This is his season, I'm telling you. This the reason he did. We gonna get into it. Go ahead.
For sure. He was on the Breakfast Club, man, to speak about his tax interview. And just to kind of clarify some things, Charlamagne had kind of went in on him on the Brilliant Idiots a little bit, if that's what you want to call it. So Beanie Siegel came to, air quote, confront him on the show. And we're not going to play a specific clip. If you haven't heard it by now, I'm not really sure what you're doing in these streets. Maybe you're like me and you made it 10 minutes in and cut it off.
You juicing it though. You putting the sauce on the saying that he came over to confront him. That's not what it was about.
Air quotes over quotes. That's how they made it. That's how they build
okay,
it.
Okay, so like that's what they did. They fucked that up.
This is whack.
Yeah, like to me,
WWE.
I mean, in my opinion, it wasn't as much Benny Siegel as it was them trying to create content out of some shit that was dead already. The shit he went and did on Tax Tone podcast, what he talked about as far as Meek Mill, that's not mainstream stuff because what he was saying on there, like you're not able to elaborate the same way on a morning interview on people drive to work.
Right.
So if people don't listen to podcasts, then that's their fault. I think it was Benny Siegel and Breakfast Club fault for trying to milk this out and say, hey, well, let's take this same conversation and put it on Breakfast Club. It's not going to work. Yep. And it come off like you said, it's staged, corny, WWE-like.
Forced.
Yes, of course. I agree with that. But what I will say is this. I do think both of those guys went up and they did their jobs. Charlamagne, who people were saying, oh, well, he was scared of this and that. No, he wasn't. He was sizing up the whole time. I actually feel like Charlamagne wished that Benny Siegel would have tried him because it's one nigga that he could have got off on. Yep. Once, like Charlamagne in tip top shape, he in the prime of his career, making the most money he ever made. Like he want Benny Siegel to try him right now.
Right now,
like, he love it. Like so, he can whoop him through the floor up there. It's in his contract. He done stated before that he can't initiate any violence, anything like that, or he'll lose his job. But he can defend himself. So I feel like he was agitating Benny Siegel just enough to where if he felt like that he wanted to jump wrong, that Charlamagne would defend himself. Now, Benny Siegel went up and he did his job too, I believe, in disagreement to what a lot of other people say. I think that Benny Siegel went up and he trying to promote himself, dude. He trying to hop back in this game as a 42-year-old rapper.
Right.
He feeling like, hey, if this what people got to do, I'm looking at Meek and the fake game beef shit, and this is what's getting him publicity. If I got to go up here and shuck it out with Charlamagne and got to act like I'm mad at him to push my single, if I got to diss Meek to get food on my table and to do all of this, because clearly from the tax interview, he was trying to get them $15,000 real hard to get Meek up in New Jersey.
Yeah.
So like he need this look in this dough, and I ain't necessarily mad at him.
No.
I ain't gonna lie, I'm not mad at him,
this
dude,
because
everybody
mad.
Else doing it. Game can't go up there and do it at 38, 39 years old and me be like, okay, it's cool because he's still making good music. No, I can't give him a pass if I can't give Ben Benny Siegel a pass who's a legend, and I don't even look at Game in the same light.
Listen, man, Benny Siegel went up there, didn't answer shit because Charlamagne's not qualified, apparently. So this is my thing, this is a real question. Mm-hmm. I get it that there's some street elements to it that a lot of people don't know. Only a few are privy to that information.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. My point is, if you're going to go on the radio show and for every answer say, you're not qualified, that's some street shit I can't talk about, is it not now mainstream shit that now that you done spoke on it in a interview? If it was just street shit, why is it not kept in the street? That's a real question.
I mean, you have a wonderful point. And what I think the answer to that is it was a botched effort in them trying to relay street shit in a mainstream setting. It wasn't going to work. And they should have thought about that before Benny Siegel trotted up there and was doing his self-promotion stuff. Because that's all it was, though. Charlamagne can't ask him stuff in which he don't feel comfortable asking. Even about the real L.A. stuff. I know who run L.A. for real. Like, what he's saying do not make sense, if that make any sense at all. Mm-hmm. Like, when he say, you asking me about some shit to go on in Philly and into politics of the street, that's accurate, dude. Like, if we got a nigga on here who's from Nashville and we know what's going on, right, but the outside world may not, and he say, no, I don't want to talk about that, or we can't really talk about that on here, that's necessarily saying the same thing as we ain't qualified or you're not qualified to talk about it. So you can go up there and do that. It just never shouldn't have happened there on the Breakfast Club because too many people are looking. Like, Benny Siegel can't go up there and say, well, that's Philly shit and I don't want to talk about it because we're going to handle it in Philly. No, like you just said, you brought it to the interview. So now you got to talk about it and you look lame and Charlamagne look lame for asking it.
But that's my point. The only reason he's on Breakfast Club in the first place, mm-hmm, is because he went on Tech Stone and talked about the shit. That's the only reason you're on Breakfast Club. Is this the chess moves that he was talking about? Is this what this is?
He's definitely not the chess move that he's talking about.
Because these aren't good chess moves. The overwhelming majority of checkers. The popular vote right now, if people watching this, is that Beanie Siegel came out looking whack in this. And this is the from what I'm seeing on social media, from what people are hitting me up in the group chats, from what I'm seeing on Facebook, all of that, it's overwhelmingly, bro, what is Beanie's doing? Like Charlamagne said the same shit that he said on Brilliant. He said the same thing on the show in his face, dude. Like, you may not agree with how Charlamagne do his shit or what he talk about or his views or any of that, but you can't say that he didn't say the shit in his face, though.
He did, and I respect him for that. And also,
but you're right, though. He's also poking, though.
Exactly.
He poking.
He was definitely poking the bear, and I feel like he did it because it was Beans.
He's a radio guy.
Right. If that was Gucci Mane, and Gucci Mane say, hey, I don't want to talk about Jeezy, he ain't going to continue to ask him about Jeezy. He ain't going to continue to say, well, what happened here? And Gucci ain't going to have to continue to tell him that he not qualified to ask certain questions. He going to get his drift the first time around, or he going to feel his drift the second time around. He wasn't worried about feeling Benny Siegel's drift. So, like I say, Charlamagne just doing his job. I don't want to see two black men up there fighting either. Like, I don't necessarily want to see that.
Yeah,
we're
too,
like,
old for that.
Yeah, they too old. Both 42, 36, them niggas
we're
is
too
old.
We're too old.
You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't no need that them niggas need to get to fighting in the radio station. I feel like they can have a good, productive conversation. I definitely feel like that can happen. But also, too, I feel like that Benny Siegel getting the short end of the stick here. People like, oh, what is Beans on and this and that? Let's not mistake who Benny Siegel is. He admitted in a Tax Stone video, we've seen it before, we've heard it. This dude does this. He did it to Jay-Z. He did it to Dame Dash.
Right.
So we can't expect him to get up here just because he was dropping jewels in a Tax Stone interview to be this holier than thou hip-hop image where we expecting him to drop jewels every time he speak. That's not him.
Yeah.
He gonna shit on himself before sooner or later, and it didn't take 2 weeks this time. He did it with Jay. He did it with Dame, like I said before. So, like, he do this. He got a pattern of this. And he can drop as many jewels as he want. He can be the OG that he want to
be. As fake
and
as
me can be as fake as he need to be as far as the narrative of this story. But at the end of the day, Benny Siegel playing into what he is. We seen this before. You've done this before. Like, we all seen this before. And, like, it ain't showing no different for his character. Like, he might have a point with Meek. He might be right. But we can't overlook that. And Charlamagne pointing out the fact that we can't overlook it because you done did this before.
I can't stress the fact enough that nobody's going in that radio station and fighting.
No. And people keep saying that they're like, he was fake for this. Like, I don't want to make it very clear that I don't think anybody was being fake. I think that
No, time out.
I mean, in the sense of, I really want to harm you.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? No. That's like me and you joke, like you're joke about Nelly on here.
Right.
But if we had the opportunity to have a sit down with Nelly, you're like, you ain't trying to fight Nelly. That's just stupid. Like I ain't trying to fight
Tiger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily. I don't know. He had the hot ass vest on. It was hot outside, man. He got to get a fade. Nah. But like, seriously, like if Tiger was sitting down and talking with us, I have no beef with him. So it's just like you doing your job. So I don't understand when people are like, one of them was being fake and they expected. What did they expect him to do? The niggas told me, like, he called Charlamagne out his name. So Charlamagne's supposed to get up and walk out. He put his fang in Charlamagne's face. I get that. I understand that. That's not how you conduct a conversation as a man. You're absolutely right. But at the same time, what do you expect out of Benny Siegel? Charlamagne, the bigger man in that situation, where he handling his business, he doing his job. If I'm in a position that I've never been in before, I work for Clear Channel. I'm on MTV. I just did Dr. Oz. I'm making $1 million a year. I'm worth over $5 million. Who gives a fuck if Benny Siegel come up there and put his fang in my face, dog? I'm not jeopardizing everything I got going on to fight this nigga because he put his fang in my face. I got a job, a career.
Imagine your closest homeboy calling you right now and saying, man, guess what happened today? Man, I done got the fighting.
It worked.
You'll look at the phone at work.
Nah, bro.
You'll look at the phone like, nigga, what? What are you talking? What? That's not even a conversation. That only makes sense. Nigga, I got the fighting at work and got fired.
It could be like, man, I got the fighting at work.
Bro, you look at your phone like, nigga, quit playing, dude.
I'll call you back.
Yeah, don't even call me no more. Because at this
stage, what you doing, though?
Nah, that's... But I get it, though. But this is my only problem, man. And I know we running long, but just hang with us.
Yeah, it's good content this week, though.
Right. If you look at the initial promo video... Now, let me take it back. I saw the promo photo first. And the promo photo had Beans with his arm around, had him like in a little chokehold, and it had Envy standing right there with the Jordan shrug. So I'm like, oh, okay, so they're being silly. That's what came out first. Then, nigga, I go on Twitter, and people are like, oh, man, he going in on Beans. I'm like, huh?
Right.
I'm like, I thought this was okay. So then I clicked the interview. In the very first line in the interview, Charlamagne gets straight to it. So you had a problem
that
with
was clear,
what I said,
yeah. Bro,
that was fucking Love and Hip Hop script. Nigga, it might as well have been a cue card back here. Yeah. I said, I can't listen to this.
Yeah.
And then at the end, when he went off, when Beanie Siegel quote unquote went off on him, and then they fucking said cut, and DJ Envy close the interview. If you watched it on TV, these niggas got up and dapped each other as soon as like what, bro? That shit. I ain't gonna lie. I'm hot at both of them. Hot at all parties involved. It was whack. They tried to make it seem like a nigga was really hot at him. He tried to get another Birdman moment. And remember, Charlamagne also said when they hit certain numbers on them views, they get bonuses. He mentioned that on an episode. I think he mentioned that on Vlad. So, like, stop, bro. Like, it was too manufactured. It wasn't authentic. Beans played himself. Charlamagne played himself. I'm not fucking with neither one of them right now. I'm hot at both of them for that interview.
I ain't going to necessarily blame both of them, though they could have not participated. And I blame their bosses, like Breakfast Club. Beans not going to turn down the opportunity to come up there and they say, hey, you know what? This is the most pub that you're going to get. You're looking at a million views. You're right. Don't play it like that.
Like you mad.
But at the same time, everybody know what makes it work. And I'm not necessarily saying that it's right. I'm not necessarily saying that Charlamagne gets an excuse or Beans. But I blame the Breakfast Club because, like you said, the baby situation, I feel like, is what created this. The Fredro Star thing is what started it. Like, the whole Fredro Star, then it went to baby. So people are like, the whole bullshit, what is it, the pissed off meter?
Yeah.
That they have right there. Like you said, all of that's bullshit, and I feel like had they not done any of that, they could have even faked it out with the pictures because it would have let me know that them men sit there, they had a conversation, and they were able to disagree yet still able to be cool afterwards.
Right.
I need to see that right now today in today's climate. You need to see men being able to have a conversation, not necessarily agree with each other, but still be able to dap it up or whatever when they get up and walk off. But like you said, it I don't need it painted in a fake picture. That's I don't need the WWE headlock shit. I don't need you beating on tables when you up there. I don't need you telling niggas that they not qualified for street shit. When Charlamagne has said clearly plenty of times that I'm from the streets, that I done did this and I done did that. Now, he may not be the gangster that Benny Siegel claimed he is to be, but we all understand what's going on, dog. It don't take a fucking rocket scientist to know what's going on in the streets of Philly. I promise it don't, dog. Right. Like, it ain't no different from any other streets. Like, the hoods is the same. Pac said that. Yeah. So I definitely agree with what you said. We don't need the shenanigans.
That's whack.
But I do think that the point there should have been proven more. Like, dog, you can say what you got to say about me. You can disagree with me. And we can sit down and we can have a conversation. And we can agree to disagree. And it ain't got to come to blows. Ain't nobody got to get shot. Ain't nothing got to happen of that nature. And it can still be good content. And I think Breakfast Club dropped the ball at that. They tried to make it as, oh, it's this beef. Oh, he's mad. Oh, beat the table. Oh, cut, let's do this again. That's what it seemed like they were doing. Oh, stop the camera. Be a little bit more mad right here. As opposed to, let's focus on the conversation and what's going on. Charlamagne, why you feel like that? Benny Siegel, what's your reaction? And let's have a conversation about it. Let's end it like you do the same dap shit, do the same picture shit, but don't make it, like you said, so scripted. I agree in that sense of it.
I said this on the rap chat and Facebook, man. Beanie Siegel did one interview too many, my nigga.
That's a fact.
One interview too, he should have just dropped the mic off at that damn tax interview. Because that was 1,000% authentic.
Yeah, that would have been one and done. And another thing, too. That's a format. Podcasts are the format where you can do stuff like that.
For sure.
You can't go to Breakfast Club with this interview.
Nah.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't
sense.
Work.
It makes no sense. Because people want to know about Game and Meek. They don't even know what Benny Siegel got to do with this.
Or where he been.
What you doing? Like, why are you in the studio? Like, why? It makes no sense.
It don't make sense. Let us know what y'all think, man. Again, Anchor, search On Deck TV Podcast, man. Yep. On Anchor. Follow chat. The IG page at On Deck TV Podcast. Comment under the promo. Let us know what y'all think, man. Who played themselves? If anybody, Beanie Siegel, Charlamagne, Envy, fuck it, Yee, even though she wasn't there. Yeah. Who played themselves?
Yee wasn't there. I know she wasn't there. Respond to the Twitter page as well at On Deck TV Podcast, at Spike Lou, at Animal Brown on Twitter. Also, go to the rap chat on Facebook, man. Let us know what you're thinking and your thoughts of hip hop throughout the week. We'd rather you post something about conversation as opposed to your music. Just throwing that out there.
Most definitely.
Won't get a lot of comments on your music there.
That's a fact. Speaking of music, new music out, man. Wiz Khalifa, man. Taylor Gang.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Gang or Die Volume 1. He fresh off a new deal, man, with Atlantic.
Nobody checking for that except for Amber Rose.
Shit, Atlantic is. They just threw him a bag.
Why?
For
why?
Taylor Gang.
How? Who's in Taylor Gang?
Wiz Khalifa.
Okay. His son? His son shakes it. His
Chevy
son do
Woods,
beats and everything.
Burner.
His son's still the most second popular dude in Taylor Gang. And Amber Rose is third.
Nah, man. I mean, Ty Dolla $ign and Juicy J.
Ty Dolla $ign is on.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's impossible.
Yeah, you knew that. I hope.
Ty Dolla $ign signed to Wiz Khalifa? I did not know that.
Yeah, most deaf.
Oh, man. Ty Dolla $ign losing.
Be on the lookout. That's out now, man. Mixtape Taylor Gang or Die Volume 1. What else? Yellow Wolf got a new EP.
Shout out Yellow Wolf, man.
It's Antioch's called Hotel.
Own. Your boy, too.
And then also this weekend, Saturday, man, Surviving Compton, the Michelle A story is coming on TV. God. DVR is set.
Hope y'all got something else to do.
That shit is going to be funny as fuck.
No, it's not.
Nah, it is.
It's not.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty funny. Not. Did you see the Saved by the Bell Lifetime movie? It was fucking hilarious, dude.
No, I did not. I don't watch Lifetime, dude. I didn't even know they had Lifetime Saved by the Bell movies.
That shit was funny as fuck.
It's impossible.
Screech was shaking.
That's how he turned out to be a porn star, right?
So,
Young Screech.
What you got on deck for the weekend?
Nigga, you know. South Beach, here we come. Revolt 2016 On Deck TV edition.
Absolutely, man. We will be in Miami all weekend. I need that beach in my life. I need that sun
all
in my life.
Day.
I need to holler at Puff. I need to holler at Revolt.
All day.
Nigga, we got some negotiating to do.
You got to come back with that bag this year.
I do not want to come back with that Zika, though. That's what I don't want to come back with.
Coming back with that bag, not that Zika.
That's the motto for this. That's the slogan for this year.
That bag, not that Zika. What you looking for, that bag, not that Zika.
As always, man, we appreciate y'all listening and support The Real. We see those reviews. Good looking.
Thank
if you haven't done it on iTunes, please review, subscribe, yep. rate.
Like.
All that shit.
All that. 5 stars, man. 27 for 27. Let's do it.
Holla.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.